This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Spring is here. It's Friday, March 20th. And so too is another Roster Report here on Patriots.com. Although we do need to remove the S from the PFW writers in the open, because just Andy Hart here today. Paul Perl on vacation. Eric Scalavino off, busy doing whatever it is he does. But apparently today it's talking to Dan Copen. So look for that update later today on Patriots.com or later as the offseason progresses. As the Patriots are in the midst of their offseason program training here at Gillette Stadium. But as always, we're here to talk about the roster and some of the moves that are made of late to that roster. And they did make a number of moves this week here at Gillette. The first, March 16th, they announced a number of signings in a single day, single release. They signed veteran center offensive lineman Al Johnson. They re-signed offensive lineman Wesley Britt. They signed exclusive rights free agent safety Ray Ventrone. They re-signed safety Tank Williams, who spent the year obviously on injured reserve last year after working in a hybrid safety linebacker role in training camp. And the biggest name in the group, the biggest deal in the group, they re-signed free agent defensive lineman Mike Wright to a four-year deal, reportedly worth somewhere in the range of $7 to $10 million, depending on playing time escalators. So Mike Wright will be back to serve in his usual versatile role as a special teamer and back up to the likes of Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, and Ty Warren. But Al Johnson is the only newcomer in that mix of signings. He's a veteran of six seasons, played with the Cowboys from 2003 to 2006, was with Arizona in 2007, Miami in 2008. 6'5", 305-pound lineman, 66 career games with 45 career starts. So a nice veteran addition to the offensive line mix to battle guys like Billy Yates and Russ Hochstein on the interior there, with the right to back up the aforementioned Dan Copen at center and some of the guys at guard. Then, March 19th, just yesterday, the much-rumored signing of wide receiver Joey Galloway became official. 37-year-old veteran, 14 NFL seasons, had a down year last year in Tampa, caught only 13 passes for 130 yards or so, battled some injuries to an ankle that really slowed him for much of the season, but according to reports, his agent has been quoted as saying he's back at full speed last year, and he's ready to go this year, and excited about the opportunity in this offense to work with, obviously, Wes Welker, Randy Moss, and Tom Brady, as the Patriots look to add some depth there at receiver in the third/fourth slot, having already traded for Greg Lewis. So I like this move. I think this is an interesting move, getting Galloway. Obviously, low risk, high reward, one-year deal, veteran, comes in. If he can still be a big play guy, certainly when you go four wide, he adds a different dynamic to the offense. If you have Lewis in the slot next to him, opposite Welker and Moss, I think gives you a couple opportunities to go deep and really creates a lot of spacing in the passing game. And there's no quarterback I'd rather have with some space to work with in the passing game than Tom Brady. So I think this is a very good move. You know, the low side is he just doesn't have it anymore. He gets cut in training camp. But my guess is he will be on the roster and he will contribute. Obviously, the ideal contribution would be a guy like Dante Stallworth 2 years ago, who caught in the range of 40 passes, but had an impact on this team, made some big plays. Joey Galloway certainly can make some big plays. He's a guy that in his career has averaged almost 16 yards a catch. So he's a guy to keep an eye on and could have a unique role with this team, and I think could have a another one of those hungry veterans looking to win a ring and contribute to a championship-caliber offense. But that's enough with all the legitimate signings, because those are boring. More interesting is talking about hearsay, speculation, and rumor. And the topic of the week in that area is one Julius Peppers, all-pro type defensive end from the Carolina Panthers, is franchised right now by the Panthers at $16.86 million, but has not signed his tender and is right now talking about, at least in the media through his agent, the fact that he wants out of Carolina, has been unhappy there for a couple years with his contract. This is the second straight offseason he's been franchised. And in fact, he wants to play outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. Oh, by the way, the Patriots play a 3-4 scheme, and they could use some help in the pass rush area. They have a hole at starter at outside linebacker with Mike Vrabel now in Kansas City. So putting those two things together, at least, there would seem to be a decent fit there. And a report on NFL.com earlier this week, Vic Carucci said the teams have, in fact, had discussions, or there have been discussions on some level, about Peppers becoming a Patriot, and at least the report stated that they were hoping to work out a deal sometime between the start of the owners' meetings, March 22nd, and the start of the NFL draft on April 25th. Since then, there have been a lot of additions to the story. It's been found out specifically that Peppers has a short list of four teams he'd like to play for. The Patriots are indeed on that list, as are the Dallas Cowboys. But the Panthers came out quickly and said they've had no talks with the Patriots about a trade or any other team because due to the fact that Julius Peppers has not signed his tender, the Panthers cannot talk about trading him because he is not technically a member of the Carolina Panthers. And discussing this whole topic was Bill Belichick just yesterday on local sports radio, WEEI in Boston. And he sort of unsolicitedly issued some advice to Julius Peppers, and that was the first thing he thinks the player should do is sign the tender because Belichick is not a big fan of dealing with agents and trying to work out trades with agents. He'd like to deal with the team itself.
I don't think that's a good way to do business, and I personally would not do it that way. I think if a player wants to be traded or wants to be in a position where he could be traded, then the best thing for that player to do is to do what Matt Castle did, which is to sign the tender, be under contract, and then go to the team and say, okay, you know, I don't want to be here. You know, you can trade me. Here's where I want to go. Or the team can say, look, here's what, you know, we would accept for you. I mean, that was essentially the Deion Branch situation. Deion Branch had 1 year left on his contract. You know, he ultimately wanted to be traded. You know, we gave different teams permission to talk to him and ultimately traded him to Seattle. So that's how a trade like that would work is if you find out finally if you get to the point where you just can't work things out with a player, then the team might give the player permission to talk to other teams or you might talk to other teams directly about moving that player in a trade. And, you know, that's how it works. But you can't trade a player that's not under contract. And that's, you know, that's a simple rule. You can't. And I'm sure Carolina hasn't tried to do that, and they shouldn't.
Belichick went on to discuss a number of different aspects of the potential Peppers deal, sort of in a general sense. Said, first of all, that there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that's obvious when you analyze the deal, because not only are you talking about a trade, and it's been reported that a second-round pick would be the compensation, the one the Patriots received from Kansas City would be shipped to Carolina, a team that doesn't have a first-round pick, has some money issues, that would be an appealing pick to them. But the bigger issue and a huge issue would be the contract and what Julius Peppers would be looking to land. He, as I said, is franchised at $16-plus million right now as a defensive end. The first thing he's going to learn is that defensive ends make more money than outside linebackers. The market has shown that over the years, and I think will show that. And one factor to keep in mind there is James Harrison, the reigning defensive player of the year, is looking to redo his deal with the Steelers. Kevin Colbert, their front office guy at the Combine, said they were going to do a deal with James Harrison. We're very much looking to do that. If he does a deal, that will then set the market for Julius Peppers more so than a deal for Albert Haynesworth, $100 million theoretically in Washington, or a deal that Jared Allen signed as a defensive end with the Minnesota Vikings that was $70-plus million. If you don't want to play defensive end, guess what? You don't get paid like a defensive end. Speaking of guys who shouldn't be paid like defensive ends or any other lowly paid area
kickers?
On the football field, no, not
maybe
even worthy of a kicker salary. You're worthy of an intern salary because you showed up late to a podcast. That's Eric Scalavino.
Doing some player interviews, Andy. Doing
formerly
some,
of Patriots Football
important
Weekly.
Work for the web and for the paper.
He's going to be looking for work soon, so he, like Julius Peppers, will be on the open market. Eric, we're discussing the Julius Peppers rumors. We went over the actual signings of the week. We don't need your input on those.
That's fine.
We're talking about the rumors because rumors are more fun than signings.
Of course.
Especially when they involve, you know, elite defensive players. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone would argue that Julius Peppers isn't an elite defensive player.
They better not.
But the question is, and this is one we will debate on Patriots.com today.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to it.
Is Julius Peppers A, future Patriot, and B, a good fit at outside linebacker?
Yes to both.
Okay.
I like, there's a lot of speculation going around. Bill was on the radio. I don't know if you already mentioned that. But I still think, my gut feeling is it's going to happen. I've said for a while now, this offseason reminds me of 2007, when initially there were rumors about Randy Moss coming here, and then it looked like that wasn't going to happen. And then all of a sudden, draft day, boom, a deal gets done, draft weekend. I think this has a lot of the same look and feel to it. I think there's going to be a lot more rumor that we're going to hear about from now until the end of April when the draft rolls around. And by then, obviously it's going to have to happen by then if it's going to happen at all, because draft picks will probably be involved. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of it, but I think when it's all said and done, he is going to be a Patriot. That said, you know, your guess is as good as mine is about whether or not he's going to be a good fit here. I tend to think he will be, just from what I've seen him do in the past. Granted, it wasn't in a 3-4, but I'm not totally convinced that if he comes here that he's always going to be playing in the 3-4, even though he said that one of the reasons for him, his wanting to be traded, is to go to a team that does play a 3-4. You know, Bill doesn't ever box himself into a corner with any one player or with any one game plan. He likes to mix it up. We've seen in plenty of games where they go 3-4, 4-3, and various other combinations of that seven or even eight or nine guys. So I think they'll use him wherever they think his skills are the best here. If that means just on obvious passing downs or whatever, I think Bill will find a way to make him fit in this system.
First of all, my guess is better than yours, but a guy whose guess is better than both of ours is Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And in the aforementioned interview on Sports Radio WEEI in Boston, he mentioned and talked about the fact that he thinks Julius Peppers could play outside linebacker. He thinks he could fit pretty much anywhere.
Again, there's a lot of good football players out there. Certainly Julius Peppers is one of the better players in the league. You know, he brings a lot of skill and he's had a lot of production. So what exactly he do and how he would do it would probably be different in every system that he would play in, but I think that he would play in whatever system he was in. You know, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense, Bill.
It sure does.
If you acquire Julius Peppers, you're going to play him. That's a good idea.
And in your system.
I think any team that acquires Julius Peppers, he would indeed play for them.
Yes.
I doubt he would be a backup and a bench warmer and a day of game inactive.
You'd hope not.
The bottom line is there's going to be a lot that comes out in the next week or two about Julius Peppers. You're going to continue to hear people shoot it down, bring it up. I thought it was very interesting that Bill sort of brought it up early on in the interview on WEI. Certainly did not shy away from the topic. Offered the advice to Peppers in terms of sign the tender so a deal can be worked out, so the team can be involved, all those things. But as he said, it's not going to be an easy one on any level because the team is involved, the agent's involved, the player's involved, money's involved, draft picks are involved, systems are involved, 3-4, 4-3. There's a lot going on there. It's an exciting topic, and maybe in future podcasts we'll be able to have one of these releases in our hands and say Julius Peppers is a Patriot.
I predict we will.
But at this point, he is not and may not ever be. But another guy is not yet a Patriot who
Paul
I think there's...
The one that Paul Perillo doesn't like, you mean?
Yes, the overrated, according to Paul Perillo, Jason Taylor, still on the open market. Another guy who made his bones for the most part as a defensive end and then under Nick Saban in Miami, transitioned to outside linebacker, had some very good success for the Dolphins as late as 2 years ago. Obviously an edge guy. Anyone who's seen the Patriots play knows Matt Cassel made him an interception guy and threw it right to Jason Taylor for a pick six that got Matt Cassel kicked to the bench. And that was way back when.
That was
way
2007.
Back when. Matt Cassel was
right.
a nobody
that
back
was,
then. Now
yeah,
he's a starting
a
NFL
ago.
Quarterback making $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thunk? 2 years from now, who'd have thunk? Jason Taylor out of work.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cassel has a franchise to call his own.
Ooh.
Who'd have thunk? But Jason Taylor is available. And I think part of what leads Patriots fans to lust after Taylor as well is not just you have a need at edge rusher, you need an outside linebacker, whatever it is, but the fact that with him, Belichick has done so many times, the guys that have great success against the Patriots become Patriots, and he's had success in the system. So it's almost similar to Lee Bodden. We've seen Jason Taylor succeed in a mm-hmm. Patriots-like 3-4 under Nick Saban.
And
so
at various spots in that system.
So I think you assume he could make the transition. There is at least a track record to go by,
mm-hmm.
more so than a guy like Peppers. But Bill, on EEI, didn't want to talk about a lot about Jason Taylor and kind of lumped him in with there's a lot of players available and all that, but still has quite a bit of praise for him.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason and a lot of other players that are out there, too. And it was just, you know, all that's, you know, still possibilities and their opportunities. We just have to see how. You know, ultimately how it all could or would work together.
And that's where we come in. We speculate on these things and give our opinions as to how it would come together and will come together. And here's where I offer mine. Jason Taylor will be a New England Patriot this year and not Julius Peppers because, mm-hmm. let's be honest, everybody except pie in the sky Eric Scalavino believes that you can only have one or the other. You don't get both.
I merely posed the question the other day. That's
yeah, all. It was a dumb question. There are no dumb questions, but that was one of them. If there were a category, that would be one of them.
No dumb questions, just dumb people who ask questions.
Okay, that's
that
you.
Makes any sense.
Eric Scalavino over there. The bottom line is, I think you take the cheaper short-term route with Jason Taylor. No draft pick compensation because he's a free agent. You sign him up, you get a couple of years out of him at decent money, whatever it may be, $5, $6, $7 million per year over a couple of years. Less money than you would have to give Julius Peppers, probably both short and long term for Peppers, who'd likely still be looking for six-, seven-year deal in the range of $50, $60, $70 million. And I think you already have the track record of him fitting in. And, oh, by the way, you get to keep that 23rd and 34th and all those picks in the second round.
Sure, sure.
You draft players for the future. You set the table for 2009, and you set the slate moving forward for 2010, 11, and 12 through the draft picks.
Good points all, Andy. I would argue only this.
Right again.
I would argue only this. We know that Julius Peppers wants to play in a 3-4. We even know that he would not mind playing for New England. What we don't know is whether Jason Taylor, A, wants to continue playing football at all.
That's true, since we know he doesn't want to work out at all in
exactly,
the offseason.
That's where I was going.
That's why he's an ex-Washington Redskins.
All the points you made were good ones, assuming he still has the desire to play football. I know Julius Peppers has the desire to play football. I know he has the desire to play here.
I know. I don't really, but I'm just going to say it. Jason Taylor has the desire to play football for the New England Patriots, because there's a difference between playing in the circus atmosphere that is the Washington Redskins, where
certainly
at best you probably hope to make the playoffs in a very tough NFC East, than there is to come to New England, where you're, oh, by the way, hooking up with, and I have to give credit to Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe for using this term to describe Tom Brady and
yes, your favorite
Jason
term.
Taylor, bromance between the two that's long-standing. You know, there's a relationship there, and there's a respect there, and, and I think it's Jason Taylor has seen from not so afar in Miami the success the Patriots have had, the way Belichick does business. You know, there's guys that have come through. Junior Seau is a guy that was in Miami, ends up here, who's long-term type player, looking to win at the end of his career, Hall of Famer. I think Jason Taylor would fit into that category. I think he would like to play here with Tom Brady and everybody on defense, and I think it's just makes too much sense on a lot of levels. And I'll do my read between the line things that I always throw out on PFW in Progress and I'll bring to the podcast. Bill Belichick was a little too comfortable bringing up Julius Peppers and talking about him numerous times in a 40-plus minute interview on WEEI yesterday, whereas he steered clear pretty much of Jason Taylor. When he's too open about things, that tells me he's just having a little fun with the media. Julius Peppers isn't coming. Jason Taylor will be a Patriot, will be in number 99, will be on the edge, making plays for this team come fall.
Do you read cards, too, or palms?
Palms. I can read palms.
Really?
Mine's interesting.
Yours says it's time to wrap up the podcast.
Mine's sweaty, and it says it's time to wrap up the podcast. But it's time to look forward, because it is spring, and we spring ahead, and that's what you do. The flowers are blooming. The clouds are getting, they're blowing away, and it's going to be sunny.
Happy vernal equinox to you, my friend.
That, too. It's getting warmer, and I'll tell you what's heating up. Is the off-season talk. I mean, we've already had a huge off-season with Springs and Galloway and Lewis and Fred Taylor.
It hasn't
stopped.
And we're
still talking
about
Hall of Fame talents. We're not talking about adding a, no offense to Nathan Hodel, but a long snapper.
Right.
We're talking about adding Hall of Fame talents, edge rushers, double-digit sack guys, and we haven't even gotten to the draft yet. It's the most exciting off-season in Patriots history.
Indeed.
And here to recap it all is Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, and the crew of PFW every week. On the Roster Report, we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.